Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Thank you so much. Amen. I love Christmas songs. Yeah. I've been learning a lot about, thank you, brother. We're learning about wisdom on Wednesdays, but especially about praise on Sundays. And you know, I don't think that I've learned as much about learning to praise God and how important praise is until this series of learning how to praise God and just being free to praise God and how praise is not something you just turn on. It's really supposed to be a vital part of your everyday life. Learning to praise God out loud, verbally, or clap your hands, but especially singing. There's so many times in Scripture, you know, God says, come before him with singing. He didn't say you had to have a good voice. He didn't say you had to be a professional. Just come before him with singing. And you know, people tell me sometimes, oh, I can't sing. That's not true. Everybody can sing. You know, children sing. And we are to sing, and it's important. God made us to be able to sing to him. It's not for necessarily anybody else's appreciation. But you know, one of the signs of being filled with the Spirit of God is in Ephesians 5, verses 18, 19, be filled with the Spirit is a command. And then he says, speak to yourselves in psalms, which are songs, hymns, which are songs, and spiritual songs, singing, and everybody say this part with me. You do that. See, you come up with a melody. You come up with a tune. And I don't know, you probably do this. Maybe you don't, and maybe this will be new for you. But I try to have a scripture, one scripture a week that I just kind of keep before me. I try to memorize it, but I don't try to memorize it. I try to talk to God about it, one verse of Scripture usually, and I'll just sometimes, you know, I say it before I go to bed at night and try to remember first thing in the morning to say it, and then by the end of the week, it's easy. It's memorized, but it's in my heart, and it's a good focal point to have a Scripture. It's like keeping your gun loaded. You have a Scripture, so when the enemy comes around, you got a Scripture. You don't have to go searching for it. This is what I've been meditating on. And when you meditate on it by going over and over again, God reveals things to you. So does anybody do that? Does anybody keep a Scripture with you each week? I mean, we all have Scriptures, remember. But I mean, keep a fresh Scripture that you can just pull it out. And one of the ways to do this is going to help you now, is I make melody in my heart with a Scripture. You know, I'm not doing it to stand up before the congregation and sing a nice song. I'm making a melody that may not make any sense to anybody else, but it's a melody that I hear a rhythm, you know, in it, in that verse. And so I sometimes use a familiar song that I've heard recently, a familiar tune, okay? Like, for example, I'm just going to illustrate for you. This week, I'm going over Psalm 25:5, and there's just three stanzas in it. And I'm just going to use the first two stanzas to try to illustrate. So I see this, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. It's almost got a rhythm in it when you're reading it, you know. And so I remember a familiar tune. Maybe it comes as I go over it and over again. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Lead me in your truth and teach me. And then I make this up, see, as I'm walking around praying and talking to God. So I'm meditating, so I'm making melody in my heart to God. I'm not trying to sound good to anybody else. I'm just doing this between me and God. Now, I pick a tune sometimes that is not a spiritual tune, you know, like a hymn. It's a tune I've heard somewhere during the week, okay? Lead me in your truth and teach me. Can you name that tune? Name that tune. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. It works. That's a tragic song. We're talking about somebody's grandmother died. It's tragic, and you're laughing. What kind of people are you? See, but you take a tune. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm just using that to be funny with, but it's true. I hear that. I hear that when I'm going through the rhythm. I'm going, leave me in your truth and teach me. Grandma got run over by a reindeer. And I mean, I just hear that. And you do that too. See, you were created with that ability to create a melody in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't have to be Grandma got run over by a reindeer. But while we're there, I just happened to put some other words to that song because there are no reindeers around here. But there are golf carts. So a newer village version of that we're going to try to sing right now. Come on, everybody. Oh, Grandma got run over by a golf cart driving through the villages at night. They left a note and blamed it all on Santa. Fake insurance info on the back. Okay, there's more. There's more. She had been drinking too much eggnog. She thought that red light was a Rudolph's nose. Poor grandma couldn't see him coming. And his reaction time was just way too slow, especially in the villages, would you say? Come on, laugh. I'm just trying to cheer you up. So, no, seriously, you take a melody. Doesn't matter what it is. A secular song. Do you know the hymns were really, the church really rebelled against the hymns when the hymns first came out that are in hymn books? Because many of those hymns were to the melody or to the tune of some bar songs. And the church people were really upset about it. And now you don't think anything of it because you don't know the bar songs or whatever it was, but they really were. But the idea is you create melody in your heart to the Lord throughout the day. Throughout the day. Have fun with God. God's got a great sense of humor. Oh, man. He cracks me up. Some of my material, at least the good material, comes from him, you know? So I'm just telling you, this is what God wants you to do. To be in the Spirit, you should have some kind of song in your heart you can pull out at any moment. A Christmas song right now is great. Pull it out and use that. Do you know we got some very talented people here? One of them is Gary Bowling. And so Gary, come up here for a moment. I'll put you on the spot. You weren't planning on this. But I've been thinking about you since you sang that song to me the other day that you just came to you. A melody came in your heart and you put some words to it. Now, this is a good song.
No, God put words to it. The okay. Holy Spirit put the words to it.
Well, don't argue with me.
I will.
Try to get along with me.
All right.
Okay. Do you remember it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I wrote the thing. So
sit back down. You're all being right. Mean. Okay. All right. Sing. This is a great song. Listen to this.
All right. Let's see.
You ready?
I have the words.
Oh, do you? No, I think I know them. Let me see if I get.
Okay.
You're going to hold the mic, right?
I'll hold it for you, sure.
I can I?
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you.
If I hold it up close.
All right.
Okay. Go for it.
Go for it. I've got the blood of Jesus, he's flowing in my flesh. I've got the blood of Jesus. I really must confess, I've got the blood of Jesus. He's deep down in my soul. I've got the blood of Jesus. His wealth is to behold. I've got the Holy Spirit. He's living inside me. I've got the Holy Spirit. He helps to set me free. I've got the Holy Spirit. I can be all I can be. I've got the Holy Spirit. Now the devil has to flee. Once there was a time when all I did was whine. Then he brought me a sign and showed me I was blind. But now I know I can see for all that I can be. My Savior died for me upon that great and mighty tree. I search the God my Father. I praise him every day. I search the God my Father. To his words I sing in praise. I search the God my Father. To his will and to his ways. I search the God my Father. To Jesus I do pray. Because Jesus is the one, and he's the only son to get to heaven and to have the life that's just begun. And he's the only way to get it done and pray, to seek the Father and his holy mighty way. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Dad.
That was awesome. Good. I didn't want you to be thinking about it before you got here. I wanted you to relax, and so that way it was
relaxed.
Well, you got relaxed because if you've been thinking about it all day,
I haven't been thinking about it all day.
Good. Caught you. But look at, I mean, that's a spiritual song.
You see his bare feet, right? Listen, we were known for years as the Barefoot Church, and I know I've said this before, but when he came walking up with his bare feet, I thought, yeah, it just reminded me again, we were considered the Barefoot Church. People singing were barefoot. People dancing were barefoot. So anyway, so I just had to say, that's all right. God doesn't care if you're barefoot.
Did you hear the doctor? That was brilliant. Did they teach you that in medical school? Oh, my goodness. That was great. Write that down. That's great. All right. So, making melody in your heart's good. So, start making melody.
Amen.
Start making melody in your heart. You know, Proverbs is really just going over the wisdom of God over and over and over again. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 on the screen, verses 2 and 3, this little review. The purpose of Proverbs is to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding and to receive the instruction of wisdom. The whole book of Proverbs, 31 chapters. You can read one chapter a day in the 31 days, read it all. So here it is, the book of wisdom. And a little bit of review. Last week, remember we said the fear of the Lord, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Right there in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. That's where you begin with knowing God. The beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the knowledge or the awareness. God is with us. He doesn't live in this building. This is not God's house, this building. If you come here to visit God, he's already with you. Yeah, wherever you go. And sometimes you're taught wrong. You know, you're taught, well, that church, that's the house of God. God's just, no. The house of God is when you're born again in the Spirit. The house of God is your body. He never leaves you. So the fear of the Lord is just being aware that God is with me all the time. When I'm driving. When I'm listening to gossip from somebody else. God's right there. He didn't leave the room. You know, or you're talking bad about somebody. You know, God didn't leave the room. He hears every bit of it. And so the truth is, you don't have the fear of the Lord if you can do that and think he's not there. You don't have the fear of the Lord. As a lot of our government leaders don't have the fear of the Lord. They wouldn't talk the way they talk. They wouldn't act the way they act. They wouldn't try to pass the laws if they knew it's not God's way. There's a lot of our leaders who do not have the fear of the Lord. We need to pray for them to have the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge. So true wisdom begins not with your intellect. It doesn't begin with education. It doesn't begin with anything other than it begins with the fear of the Lord. That's where you start. Christianity 101, kindergarten 101, is the fear of the Lord. The church needs to be taught the fear of the Lord. God is present always. That's why you should have fun with God throughout the day. Singing songs to Him. He gives you melodies. And as I said a few weeks ago, if you wake up in the morning and there's a song, a praise or something that you just had, guess what? God was already at work in you at nighttime. He works the night shift. When you're sleeping, God is at work inside you, ministering to you, probably healing you, probably giving you solutions to things. Wisdom is already there, innate in you, because God is present with you. So the fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 15:33, says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. The fear of the Lord teaches you wisdom. You got to have the awareness that God is with me right now. Not just when I have the tingly feelings. He's with me all the time. In every situation. So the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And that's the wisdom of God right there in Proverbs 15:33. The wisdom of God is the most important thing in the world you should be seeking after. I need your wisdom, God. I need the way you think. It's available to everyone. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. The wisdom of God is available to everyone.
Amen.
But you can't buy it. It begins with the fear of the Lord. If you want the wisdom of God, you start with being aware that God is with me all the time. There's not a moment that God is not with me. He's around me. Even if you're not born again, God is around you. He's omnipresent. So the fear of the Lord, actually, this verse says, teaches you wisdom. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, which begins by being humble enough to realize I don't have it. Wayne, as well, like you and I are talking back there. You know, you were saying to me, you know, we realize, you know, we're not that smart. We got to go to God. I forget exactly how you said it. Yeah, I'm a 4 out of 10. Yeah, so we realize we don't really have. We need to go to God and ask God for wisdom. Never assume that we've already got it all. You know, the Bible describes a man by the name of Stephen as one of the first 7 deacons in the Bible in the book of Acts. And look at how it describes him. This is very important. Look at this. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, Stephen was described as full of the Spirit and what?
Wisdom.
Now, you would think being full of the Spirit would mean you'd be full of wisdom. That's just angels over there playing. Don't pay any attention to them. You would think that being full of the Spirit, you'd be full of wisdom. That's not true. You can be filled with the Spirit and still not have wisdom. Look at that verse. Here was a man who was full of the Spirit and wisdom. The point is, you can be Spirit-filled and not have wisdom. Wisdom is not a fruit of the Spirit. Do you know the fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Don't see wisdom there. I didn't see any wisdom there, did you? No wisdom. In the fruit of the Spirit, no wisdom. So you can be filled with the Spirit and not have wisdom. And this is the Bible's pointing out to us. Stephen was a man who was full of the Spirit and wisdom. So how do you get wisdom? How do you get it? It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what wisdom is according to the New Testament? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 begins to list the gifts of the Spirit. The first gift of the Spirit listed in the Bible is a word of wisdom. It's a gift. Wisdom is a gift. Wisdom is a gift of the Spirit. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. So Stephen had this wisdom. How did it manifest? Well, the Bible tells us. When some unbelieving Jews came to argue with him, look at what the scripture says in Acts 6:10. They could not stand up against the what? Or the by which he spoke. It's supposed to be a P there. So they couldn't stand up against the wisdom. He got wisdom. He not only had the fullness of the Spirit, but he had wisdom. And look how it manifested. They couldn't argue with him. They came to argue with him, and no matter what they did, they couldn't trip him up with the words or anything like that. They couldn't argue with him. I don't know about you, but if God came to me like he did to Solomon in a dream, and God came to Solomon and said, ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. I have enough sense now to know the first thing I'd ask God for is I want wisdom. I want wisdom. I ask you for wisdom. And Jesus promised us that one day there's going to time come that you're going to have to stand before authorities, government people, and give an account for your faith. And look at what he said in Matthew chapter 10 in the New Testament. Don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Just like Stephen. That's wisdom. I want that. Don't worry about what to say. I mean, just it's going to come. The wisdom of God's going to come. It's going to come. So this wisdom we're talking about is not natural wisdom. It's not something you go and you can learn and educate yourself with. It's not natural. You know, Stephen had it and we can have it. Okay, it has nothing to do with your education. It has nothing to do with your IQ. It comes free of charge, but it's very costly. And the price to pay for it, this wisdom, is to swallow your pride and admit your need to God. Now, there's two kinds of wisdom as mentioned in James chapter 3. The first one is worldly wisdom. The wisdom that comes from the earth or the world is characterized by bitter envy and selfish strife in your heart and is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. That's the wisdom that comes from the world. That's how it's described. So if there's envy, if there's strife, it's demonic. That's not godly wisdom. See, you can know the right thing to do, but if you don't do it the right way, that's not wisdom. It can cause more trouble. And this is the season usually families get together, and sometimes families have friction. Ask me how I know. How do you know? It's true. We have friction sometimes when we get together with friends and family and things like that. So the enemy is looking for an opportunity to get in there and cause all kinds of trouble. I heard of a story today, a true story of someone that, the kids are coming, and unfortunately, when the kids come, it's not the kids' fault, but one of the people in the house just start ranting and raving and causing a lot of trouble. Wow. It's demonic. It's a stronghold. It needs to be dealt with. Okay. So that's the kind of wisdom that's in the world. And so the wisdom that you find in the world is a consequence of pride. You think you know what the answer is. You think you know what the problem is. You think you're supposed to do this or you're supposed to do that. It's a consequence of pride. There's no humility there. And as a consequence of pride, this kind of wisdom that we're looking at right here, you're reading about right there, you know where you find it? In churches, in governments, in doctors, in lawyers, in universities, anywhere where people think they are clever or have great brains or they know everything, where there's no humility. That's where you find it. See? One of the things I love about Brother Bruce, and I told him this last week, is I love his humility. He's a smart guy. He's a doctor. He's a smart guy. But he's humble. Just nudge him a little bit, Jane. Nudge yourself. Yeah. He is. He's humble. And I love that about him. You know what? There's wisdom there now. Are you understanding what I'm trying to get across to you? Now, the verse 17 says, the wisdom that's from above, from God. This is what it looks like. It's pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of the world. Where do you find the wisdom of God? Somebody tell me. Well, yes, the Word of God is called the wisdom of God. There's no doubt about that. But how do you get it? Hmm. You have to be humble enough to realize you don't have it. And you can only get it one place. Not from Pastor Gary. You get it from God. He's the only one. So this wisdom is a secret, really. The world just, most of the world doesn't realize that you can't just go out and find it. This wisdom comes only to the one who is humble enough to realize there's only one who has it. So I'm going to go to him and get this wisdom. But he has some stipulations. If you want wisdom, God has some stipulations, and he spelled it very clearly out in the Word. And he says it right here in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, anybody lack wisdom, raise your hand. All right, here, then you qualify. Let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. Man, God is glad to give you this, and he doesn't give it to you criticizing you. And it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith without wavering. You got, without wavering, I mean, you know that if you ask in faith, you're going to get it from God, because God said, yes, he'll give it to you.
That's right.
Not wavering. For he that wavers, well, maybe he'll give it to him, maybe he won't. I hope he'll give it to me. That's wavering. Yeah. That person's like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man think he's going to receive anything from God. You can't waver. You've got to believe that God is good for his word. If he said, if I had asked him for wisdom, he will give it.
Amen.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It may not come right at that moment. It may be a solution to a problem you're trying to get the answer to. It may be direction of what you're supposed to do next, but that wisdom will come, and you just have to believe. I asked God for it. He said he'd give it. I believe him.
Amen. Amen.
And so what do you do in the meantime? The stipulations to get wisdom from God are very clear. We've already gone over them. One is the fear of the Lord. Do you have the fear of the Lord? Really? I mean, most people in church would say they do, but do you? The Bible says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Do you depart from evil or do you run to it? See, the truth is you got to check yourself. Do I really have the fear of the Lord? I ask God for the fear of the Lord. Ask God for the fear of the Lord. Because if you don't have it, he knows it and he'll give it to you. I want the fear of the Lord. God, give me the fear of the Lord. And number two is humility. God, I need wisdom. See, if you're not humble, you won't go to God and ask for it. You think you got it. I know what to do. Don't tell me. No, I need wisdom. And even in sometimes when I think I know what to do, God, I may be wrong. I need wisdom. So humility, but then faith. If I go to God right now and I ask him for wisdom for this particular thing, if I have the fear of the Lord, humility, and faith, I'll get it.
Amen.
It's as simple as that. I'll get it.
That's right.
Right now. So think about one thing, not many things, one thing. You need wisdom from God. One thing. You need wisdom from God about this. Now, close your eyes for a moment. Ask yourself a question. Do I fear God? I mean, am I aware that He right now is right here in me, with me? Do I really believe that? Number two, am I humble enough to realize I don't have the wisdom, but God will give it to me? And number three, do I believe if I ask God for wisdom about this situation that He will give me wisdom? Okay, now go ahead and ask Him. Ask Him for that one thing. God, I need to ask You for wisdom for this. Okay, that's it. Did God hear you?
Yes, absolutely.
If you say, I hope so, you don't have the fear of the Lord. Did God hear you?
Amen.
Okay. You came humbly asking. Yeah? Okay. Do you believe that God said in His Word, James 1:5, if you'd ask, He said, I'll give it to you. You just got to believe. Then guess what? You've already got it. You say, but I don't know what to do yet. But that'll come. It may come in your dream tonight. It may come in the form of a song. It may come while you're driving down the road next week. But God said He'd give you wisdom. He'll give you wisdom. It's coming. So thank Him right now for the answer. Thank You, God, for giving me wisdom. You're brilliant. I would have never thought of that. And it'll come. It'll come. Look at this in Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. Did you catch that? By humility and the fear of the Lord come riches, honor, and life. Everything you want here on earth, riches, honor, life. God says it comes by humility and the fear of the Lord. That's how you get it. It'll come. Look at this in Proverbs 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Before in verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now it says it's the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now notice this. For by Me, wisdom, your days will be multiplied. And your years of your life will be increased. Now wait a minute. What's the difference between your days being multiplied and the years of your life being increased? Aren't they saying the same thing? No. Your days will be multiplied. It's talking about your health. You think about it. What is, after you're born again, what is one of the most important things to you? Your health. Because if you don't have your health, if you've got a ton of money but you don't have your health, it ain't going to do you any good. You want health. Amen? Anybody want health? God says He'll give you health. Your days, He's talking about your health, will be multiplied. Your health will come to you if you get wisdom. And your life being increased is long life. Your life will be increased, long and satisfying life. God wants to give you that. How do you get it? By wisdom. He said, the very thing that you want, you get by wisdom. You know, one of the things I've noticed today in our world is that there's too much emphasis on diet and exercise and less emphasis on how wisdom will provide you health and long life. We just read it. Instead, we kind of read over that and we gloss over it and then we focus on health and, you know, eating right and diet. And that's all good. There's a place for that. And I think you should eat right and I think you should exercise. I try to do that as much as I can and so forth. But too much emphasis is on that among Christians. When God says the way you have those things is wisdom. I've noticed books that are written on longevity and living a long life and a healthy life. Not all, but probably most of those books written on longevity really just boil down to this one thing, avoidance. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And even if they talk about eating, just eat organic food because everything's got pesticides and all that kind of stuff in it. You got to realize we live in a fallen world. Even if you eat organic, the cabbage that you eat today was not the same kind of cabbage that your grandparents ate. God says the key to health and long life is wisdom. And so we live in a fallen world, and so I'm not saying you shouldn't exercise, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat right and all that kind of stuff, but what I am saying is that's not what God places the emphasis on. And the majority of Christian programs that I see on television now, most of them are selling vitamins or some kind of special new supplement that's just been found out, or this new tonic or this new drink. And it's the big sell item of all most of the Christian, what sponsors most of the Christian television. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying, are we missing something? You start reading all this stuff, it can freak you out. I remember hearing and reading about radio frequency, that at night you should turn off everything, the internet in your house, you should turn off your cell phones, make sure you don't have any computers on, because radio frequency is going through and it's going to cause cancer and this and this and this and this and this and this. Wow. What about what God has to say? You know, Paul said he faced the same thing back in his day 2,000 years ago. And Paul said that these things that, don't eat this and don't do that and do this or don't do that is all about don't touch this, don't handle that, don't eat that. This is what the Apostle Paul said in our New Testament, Colossians. Look at this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's put that on the screen. Why, as if you were living in the world, do you subject yourselves to legalistic rules? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. These are all to perish with use and are aligned with the commandments and doctrines of men. These things have a show of wisdom in self-imposed worship and humility and the neglecting of the body, but are worthless against the indulgence of the flesh. If you are raised up with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, it's not wrong to diet. It's not wrong to not eat certain things. Not wrong to exercise. By all means, you should do those things, but it's not the primary thing. If that's your goal, to live a long life and a healthy life here, that's a good goal to have. But God's telling you in His Word, the key to that is get wisdom. Amen or oh me.
Amen.
Okay, that's wisdom for tonight. Let's stand up and praise God. And the next scripture you put yourself to sleep with tonight, I wouldn't suggest you use Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Because I tried that and I sang it all night long to myself and it was terrible. Father, we thank you for your wisdom of your word. You are genius, God. Your word is genius. We ask for wisdom to discover the revelation, the illumination that you have given us in your word. So, Father, we ask you for that. And I ask you to help each person to find and create a melody in their heart to the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for this beautiful group called the Body of Christ here at Grace Tabernacle. Bring us back Sunday just full of life, full of testimony, full of faith, excited about the wisdom that you're giving us with our life. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Good night. We'll see you Sunday. We'll see you whenever we see you. We'll see you.